This is Central Time. The election this November will be the first time a current president faces a rematch with the previous president in over a century. Last time it happened was 1892, when incumbent Benjamin Harrison lost to his challenger and predecessor, Grover Cleveland. According to a lot of recent polls, President Biden has ground to make up against former President Trump. But how much can horse race polling actually tell us about voters' feelings and the eventual outcome of the race? Harry Enten is back with us to help sort things out. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about polls and how to read them and what we do with them? How do you feel about a Biden-Trump rematch? Are you excited about one or the other, both somehow, or neither? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Harry Enten is a senior political data reporter and the host of CNN's Margins of Error podcast, where he specializes in data-driven journalism. Harry, welcome back to the show.
You know, it's been so long since I've been back, and also so long since I first started appearing on the show. I remember I used to call in. Now we do Google Meets.
I know.
The whole technology. I feel so old.
Yeah, well, and fancy stuff now. And Harry, I remember last time we talked to you, I think it was March of 1892. Take us back to the polling.
I don't think they had any polling there. If they did it was literally they'd drop it off. You know, there'd be someone who'd go house to house and kind of ask you. Today we have the internet. They would never have thought of the internet back over a century ago.
All right. Now, before we start to dig into the current state of polls, Harry, it's March, the election's in November. What do we do? What can we make of polls as we read? And we're going to read about them. We're going to hear about them in the months to come. How do you suggest people handle and process that information they're seeing about presidential polling this far out?
Yeah, I mean, look, I was, in fact, just in a spreadsheet earlier today calculating the difference between what the polls say at this point and the eventual outcome. And on average, since 1972, the difference has been about 7 points between the polls at this point and the actual outcome. And at this point, even though Donald Trump holds a minor, small lead over Joe Biden in the national polls, it's not anywhere close to approaching 7 points at this point. So I think the best way you can sort of judge the polls right now is the race looks very different than it did 4 years ago at this point, when Joe Biden had a clear advantage, high single digits. Right now, however, it's a race that, in my opinion, at least when it comes to the national popular vote, it's a race that, simply put, is too close to call. And I'm not really quite sure it's going to shift from that. And that's going to, at this point, you know, if you're looking at 1, 2, 3 point leads, even all the way down the stretch of the campaign on election day, one candidate may be slightly favored, but it's a race truly that anyone could win.
And as you used to point out when you were on with us pretty regularly, Harry, there is no national election. It's a whole bunch of state elections, and we sort of add them all up together. How much harder can it be to call, battleground states like Wisconsin that really can be a coin toss almost? We're so close sometimes.
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, if you look right now of the states, you know, these key battleground states, you know, if you just look at the 6 closest states that Joe Biden won in 2020, he probably needs to win at least 3 of those in order to stay in the White House. Wisconsin's one of the closest out of all of them, right? You know, you'll see a poll that might have Donald Trump up by a point, but then you'll see one that has Joe Biden up a point or two. The real issue, you know, when you're sort of compiling up all the swing state polling is, one, there's less of it than there is nationally. And two, trying to figure out the relationship between the different swing states, right? So let's say if the polls are off by a point or two in Arizona, and let's say the polls are off by a point or two and they have Donald Trump too far ahead, does that mean that the same is going to hold in Wisconsin, or the polls going to have Donald Trump up 1 or 2 points more than he actually, better than he does on election day? We're not necessarily sure about that. So when you're looking at the Electoral College and you're looking at the battleground states, it's just even you have to give yourself even a wider margin of error. One other quick thing I will note is that in the last 2 elections, the national popular vote has tended to underestimate how well Donald Trump would do in the swing states, right? You know, you take a state like Wisconsin, where Biden won it by less than a point in 2020. Nationally, he won by about 4.5 points. So I think when there are a lot of folks like myself looking at these national polls showing Donald Trump up by a point or two, we say if that previous pattern between the swing states and the national vote holds, then maybe Donald Trump is actually in a stronger position than we think. But the honest to God's truth is we just don't know at this particular point.
a question coming out of 2016, Harry, and correct me if I'm wrong. There was a, you know, there was margin of error. There was a question in each individual state. Is it going to be more toward Trump, more toward Hillary Clinton than we expect? And what ended up happening was many states, key states, battleground states, swung more toward Trump at the same time. Are pollsters trying to do something to compensate for that so that their overall prediction is a little more reliable?
The question is, what aren't they trying to do? That, I think, is the real thing. They're putting everything up against the wall. Things that they might do differently than they did previous is, you know, going back 8-12 years down the road, is they're making sure they weight by education, right? Because we know that Donald Trump's core group of voters are voters without a college degree. They are waiting. A lot of pollsters are now waiting on the past presidential vote. So they'll say, okay, who'd you vote for in 2020? And then they'll try and line it up with how things necessarily went. They're even waiting by such things as volunteering status. The idea essentially being that if you volunteer, you're actually more likely to answer a poll than those who don't volunteer. Kind of makes some sense, right? So they're trying to match that up with what we know nationally about how many Americans volunteer in their community and not. So they're really doing a whole slew of things. The question ultimately is whether it works. I don't know the answer to that, but the one thing I will say is it's quite possible that the polls actually underestimate Joe Biden this time around. They may not just underestimate Donald Trump, or of course the polls could be right on accurate. We'll just have to wait and see.
Harry Enten is with us, senior political data reporter, host of CNN's Margins of Error podcast. We're talking about the latest polling on the presidential election and what we do with that polling. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your biggest concerns as you look at this presidential campaign? Would anything convince you to vote for Biden over Trump or vice versa? Do you see yourself as being on the fence in some way? Join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or your questions about polling. 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up next on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Harry Enten, CNN senior political data reporter, looking at a Biden-Trump rematch and what we can and can't take away from the polls this far out. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your hopes, your fears for this presidential campaign, your questions or opinions about polling itself. Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Maggie is with us in Woodbury, Minnesota. Maggie, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Maggie?
I am 100% behind Biden. He brought us through the pandemic. He did not abandon the states like Trump did. He used federal agencies to help in any way possible. They cleared it for pharmacists and others to do the vaccine, so rural people had greater access, and he has brought the economy back. We didn't hit the soft recession. Maybe we still will, but the stock market is at historic highs. We have low unemployment. We have lower inflation than other countries, the European Union and those countries.
Maggie, I gotcha. Thanks a lot for the call. Harry, Maggie takes us into issues that people will vote on and who they trust more on issues. What kind of things are you seeing?
You know, it's so interesting. I hear from Biden supporters all the time talking about what they believe is a strong economy. And obviously, if you look at the stock market, if you look at the job situation, I think it's tough to argue otherwise, right? But if you ask Americans who they trust more on the economy, they trust Donald Trump more on the economy than Joe Biden. They believe that inflation, that things are significantly higher than they want them to be. And I think that in the voters' minds, they are looking back to 4-5 years ago, while the Biden campaign will argue, as your caller just did, that inflation has been far worse in other countries and that it's been getting better. But voters right now aren't making that connection. At this particular point, if this campaign rests on how folks feel about the economy, it's a good story for Donald Trump. Will that be the case a little less than 8 months from now? Maybe if consumer sentiment continues to rise, maybe as inflation perhaps continues to come down. We'll have to wait and see. But at this point, the economy is not the issue that Joe Biden wants this election to be decided on. Otherwise, Donald Trump is most likely going to win.
Maggie, thanks for the call. Mark joins us now in Sun Prairie. Mark, hi.
Oh, hi. Hey, Harry, quick question for you. So in the way you do your polling, how do you account for the situation where people really aren't favoring one or another? They're just sending a message. They're just grumpy about what's going on, and they want to send a message to the current president that, hey, do something better. And so we are going to say we're not going to vote for you.
Mark, thanks for the call. Harry.
You know, I walk around the newsroom sometimes and I say, I wonder if the voters are just LARPing it. That is live action role playing and essentially being, I am not going to vote for Biden because I want to send him a message exactly as your caller just said. But at the end of the day, this is why the polls, we say, you know, the polls measure attitudes right now. There's no guarantee that what voters say right now is going to be what holds in a little more than 7 months or a little less than 8 months down the line. For most voters, it's going to be, you know, they say Biden, they're going to vote Biden. They say Trump, they're going to vote Trump. But it's really that 10% in the middle who we really are not sure about. And to be honest, aren't really paying very close attention to the race right now. They're more concerned about putting food on the table or picking their kids up from school. So polls are capturing voter attitudes at this place and time. Where they are 7.5, 8 months down the line, that's why we have a campaign in which both of the candidates are going to go out and try and get people's votes.
Thanks for that call. Before I go back to our callers, Harry, something from the primary I wanted to ask you about. I was on the Nikki Haley campaign mailing list here at work. They sent lots and lots of polls, including some here in Wisconsin, showing in head-to-heads, Haley beats Biden by pretty substantial measures in those polls, much more neck and neck races between Trump and Biden. What do you make of that? The thought that potentially Haley might have been a better head-to-head competitor against Biden, but had really no shot, it turned out, to win the Republican nomination.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it before, right? It wouldn't be too much of a surprise. Haley's favorable ratings among moderates and independents is significantly higher than Donald Trump's were. So it is quite plausible in that, you know, universe that obviously we don't exist in, that Nikki Haley could have beaten Joe Biden. And it would have been a significantly wider margin for her than if Donald Trump ends up beating Joe Biden. But the fact is that at this particular point, even if that may be the case, Donald Trump still has a pretty gosh darn good shot of beating Donald Trump has a pretty gosh darn good shot of beating Joe Biden. And you know, ultimately, we play the race that we play, and it's not just about winning the general election. You have to get past the primary as well. And Nikki Haley, for all her good polling in the general election, simply put, couldn't sell it in a primary.
Back to our callers now as we talk to Harry Enten about the presidential campaign, polling therein. Tim is with us in Red Wing, Minnesota. Tim, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
Well, my wife and I are both educators, and I'm a veteran of U.S. military service, and we would 100% vote for Joe Biden again. We plan to, and we hope the rest of the country does as well.
And do you have particular concerns about Donald Trump as a candidate, or would you just generally vote for a Democratic candidate?
No, I'd always I voted for either party before, but I would never vote for a narcissist who wants to end democracy. I like to vote.
Tim, thanks for the call. And Harry, there's this ongoing question. Is there something special about Donald Trump? Tim points out his concerns about a second Trump presidency. Is he somehow different in how polling works around him and how elections work around him?
So I think there are a few questions in there. First off, you know, if you ask voters what's their most important issue, and if they say defending democracy, that's probably a ground that Joe Biden, at least according to the polling, would much rather play on than the economy. So I think that's one thing. Two, you know, I think there's the question of, and you kind of brought it up before, would a different Republican do better against Joe Biden than Donald Trump is? Maybe, but I will point out that for the most part, when you ask, you know, a generic ballot question, that is an unnamed Democrat against an unnamed Republican, the Biden-Trump polls right now pretty closely mirror that. So I'm not 100% sure that if Donald Trump weren't on the ballot, that Republicans would necessarily be doing better, although I think there's a pretty good case to be made for that. And as for the idea, you know, that it's more difficult to measure support when Trump is on the ballot, maybe so. But, you know, we've only had two general elections with Donald Trump actually on the ballot. And while in both of those cases, the polls did underestimate his standing versus the final result, there's no guarantee that that will be the case this go around.
And Harry, let's ask a fundamental question here. Given that, you know, polls today don't predict an outcome and that it may be hard to discern what they're going to mean, why do polls Why pay attention to polls? Why report on polls?
Well, I think part of it is because it's just gosh darn fun, at least for me. We're having this conversation. But more than that, I think it's important because, yes, we're talking about the horse race. But I think, you know, we've sort of hinted at in the last few questions, we find out more about the voters than just who they're going to vote for. We find out why they're going to vote for these candidates. We find out what issues are important to Americans. I think that's very important, especially as politicians try and claim what Americans want. We can actually ask polls, do stuff like focus groups as well, and find out for real what they want. And more than that, you know, in this era in which some candidates, including Donald Trump, wanted to claim that the 2020 election was, in fact, stolen from him, despite the fact that there's no real evidence of that being the case. I think polling and showing that the results came either A, pretty close to the polling, or B, Trump actually did better than the polls would suggest that, in fact, the elections that we hold are legitimate. So there's, you know, there are a bunch of different reasons. But I think part of it is fun. But part of it, as I mentioned, there is far more serious. And I think we, not surprisingly, should continue to do polling even this far out.
Harry, we'll leave it there. Good to talk to you again.
My friend, it's always a pleasure. I hope to be back soon.
Excellent. Harry Enten is a senior political data reporter and the host of CNN's Margins of Error podcast. He talked to us today about what polls can and can't tell us about the upcoming presidential election. Just 8 months away, you know. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, a bill in Congress would force the sale of the social media giant TikTok to new owners or block it in the United States if that sale isn't made. We'll check out the legislation and what's behind it. You can get that conversation started right now. Do you or does someone in your family use TikTok a lot? What do you think of this idea of forcing a sale or banning it? Do you have concerns about national security related to TikTok, which is what's driving this whole effort? Email ideas@WPR.org. Also tomorrow, ultra-processed food is getting a lot of criticism and health warnings lately. What is it? How much should we worry? A Wisconsin nutrition expert joins us for a look at the latest research on food and health. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.